From sleepless nights to tantrums at the store, wiping sticky hands and cleaning up the kitchen floor. Every day is an adventure, never a dull moment in sight. They're breaking all the rules with their hearts shining bright.
I absolutely love our intro, don't you, Christine?
I do. I do. It is sleepless nights, sticky fingers, although I'm very quickly moving out of that phase of my life. And now we're moving to other
things. Do we ever really move out that phase, though?
Not if it's a guy.
We're just raising eldest kids for other women. We are live today.
The first time.
The first time we're doing this live.
Wow.
Actually can't remember the last time you and I were live in a studio.
Together. I cannot remember. It's been a while.
Many moons ago.
Really nice to be on Nova today. And we've got a guest on the show today.
Yes.
Because, like I said, we're moving into different territory. A lot of parents are already there. So we have got Nrupesh Soni here. He's a digital expert and he is also a dad. And we're talking about digital safety. Hi, Nrupesh.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm glad I'm on the first live episode.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a first.
So, I mean, digital safety, when Anne brought up this, my first reaction was, isn't that a bit dead? And when we started talking about it, I'm like, oh, wait, there's stuff that I don't know that's been happening. Because I've heard about it before, and I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty on top of things, I thought. But there's so much new stuff that kids are exposed to online, and phones have just become one of those things, just hand it to them and let them go.
I kind of feel like every generation has their demons, okay? We had Tamagotchis and Nokia 3310s where parents thought we wouldn't be able to write anymore. But I feel like the digital demon that our kids are growing up with, that's a biggie, no? Because it makes them grow up way too fast.
Yeah, it feels like it.
Right?
It does. Look, when you speak of demons, yes, the problem is when we were young, we would just do things that we get a slap on the wrist or we get grounded or something. It didn't have long-lasting impact on it.
No.
Now everything you do can really backfire, can impact your kid, the parents' jobs or the company they work with. The kid posts some inappropriate meme or something, it can reflect on the whole family and the jobs and their future, and they don't realize the digital footprint that they're creating.
I think that's, you know, I stopped quite a few years ago putting anything of my kids online, their faces, photos, anything, because I had a discussion with someone and we had this realization when we were, you know, 16, getting drunk in someone's backyard in the middle of the night. Because, come on, like, everyone did that.
I didn't do that.
No, of course not. I was the only one. When we were doing things, like you said, we either got a slap on the wrist or your friends knew, and then that was kind of the end of it. Or you could go and get the photos that they printed and make them disappear. There wasn't this long-lasting thing. We would say, yo, I'm blay. I mean, it's not what ons gedoen het nie, but they live in that world. And I don't have the right to create a digital footprint and identity for my child.
No.
We shouldn't do that. We can kind of tag them in some family photos on accounts that are private. That's fine. But they need to understand that the responsibility that comes with it, and that's part of education. We can't just tell them no electronics, but look, These are the negative sides of social media. This is what happens. If you do this, this can happen. What you do now can have an impact a few years down the line. Them posting photos, kids sharing the photos, kids sharing screenshots. Now the kids in, 14, 15-year-olds have group chats on Instagram. They don't use WhatsApp. They use Instagram to chat.
Again, I heard, but that's apparently the new telephone number. Thing. Like, here's my Instagram handle. You can contact me in the, DM me.
It's an Insta.
Handle.
Or the IG or the gram.
Or snapping.
Snapping.
It's like, I'm going to snap tonight. Like, heard it 2 weeks ago. I'm like, what do you mean? Photos? No, Snapchat.
Snapchat's still a thing?
It's still a thing.
I love it for the photos.
If you look at the stats, every minute there are like 500 million snaps being taken. every minute. That's what happens in a minute on internet. And how do you manage that?
Yeah. Like
snaps disappear, but it's fine.
Mm.
Instagram and other things, people take screenshots. Kids then bully other kids using that.
Mm. Yeah.
So the mental health aspect of it is extremely important, kids.
Mm.
You know, it's not just the anxiety of not having a device.
Yeah.
But what you do on the device can cause a lot more mental health issues if it's not used properly.
And you actually seen something on, you know, this whole thing of kids chatting. There was an organization in,
Singapore, but it's
Singapore.
Quite popular now online. Yeah, the parents and schools are being sent that content updated weekly to say, this is what kids are talking about, this is what kids are chatting in codes.
Emojis.
We had codes, but this is bad. I don't even know if we can post it on Noah, but it's...
I don't want to see those emojis ever again. It gave me the heebie-jeebies yesterday. But I think, like, the whole, between the three of us anyway, everyone raises their kids in their own way. But I do think the consensus here, sort of pushing towards, don't completely, like, take it away. Don't make them go cold turkey, rather educate.
Have relationship with the kids in a way where you can actually show them long-form videos on YouTube and other platforms. Have you seen this? Do you mind watching it for 15 minutes? Let's watch it together.
Mm.
Get them more into long-form videos so they don't have that short attention span of reels and TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
That's also causing them that anxiety to say they can't focus on anything. But that comes from parents. Parents have to get involved and say, okay, let's...
Look, that's probably one of the hardest things for me. I don't spend that much time on my device. Like, I am a reader. Like, my kids know naps and reading, that's my
it's
thing.
Your jam.
But still, it's so hard to model these things for them where I'm not doom scrolling all the time, because they will ask us, but why can't I get screen time because dad's on his phone?
Because,
you know, because I said so.
The worst thing the kid can tell you is, can you please put down the phone and talk to me? Imagine your kid telling you that.
Thankfully, we've never heard that one.
But it happens.
But
kids do look at you and they think, okay, but their parents are always there. And then also with parents, I always say, look, make it a habit on weekends, turn off your phone. Like, try, if you're not in a critical workspace like insurance, medical, and things like that, turn it off even for 5 hours. See, you're going to feel anxiety the first two times you do it, but you get used to it.
Yeah.
When you do that, you'll see how much more you can actually do. Even if it's watching YouTube on a TV, now you're with your kids, not distracted with your phone, because we also can't watch a 1 hour movie without looking at the phones.
No.
So, and you mentioned, you know, ek gaan dan net sê, want dis seker wat almal dink. Dominie se kinders. Okay? There's a stereotype. Don't come for me, please, because this is the stereotype's name. There's a reason there's a stereotype, okay? I'm not picking on anyone. But there's this joke about, you know, some people's kids aren't allowed to drink or go out or do this or do that. They're very much protected and closed off to the world until they get out of the house, and then they just go off the rails.
Yes.
And that's what we don't want with digital things. And honestly, they use digital tools in school.
Yep.
They have to know. But now we've said, we know we have to protect them. It can be hard work, but there are tools that can actually make it easier for you, because I cannot babysit
the whole
my
time.
Kids the whole time.
No.
Okay? I'm one of those parents where if the TV and the phone had to disappear, I don't know who's going to make it out alive, because sometimes I have to do stuff, and I will be honest, I use it as a little bit of a babysitter sometimes.
But what you can do is, look, if you have Android phones, they have Google Link. Apple
you just
has,
set me up with that, baby.
It's the best tool you can have. It's been there since 10, 11 years now. Apple has parental control. Set up kids' Google accounts, Gmail accounts, kids' Apple accounts, so you can then manage them from your devices. If they need to download an app or a game, it asks you for permission first. You can monitor the screen time usage. So when I see my 16-year-old is spending more than 5 hours on TikTok in a day, and that's normal, apparently.
Wow.
Then I'm still below this threshold.
But that's 16. So Instagram and TikTok is through the roof if you see on the weekends, because that's where they chat to friends. When you see that, you can always control it, manage it. You can allow some of the apps that they need for school or education. But there has to be that balance. You need to talk to kids. Why are you doing it? Not just to say, oh, you're too much on TikTok. No, but
what
if you see them on TikTok or Instagram for 2 hours, it's your responsibility to ask them, what are you doing? Show me who you follow. What do you do?
Mm.
And if you don't have the relationship where they can't hand you their phone and say, okay, do what you want.
Yeah.
And you know there'll be chats at that age.
Mm.
That's fine. That's between friends. That's internal chats.
Yeah.
That's the way we used to communicate with friends.
Mm.
But what else are they doing is more important.
Yeah.
And that trust in kids giving you the phone is extremely important.
We asked some of the moms on our Secret Life of Motherhood WhatsApp group, firstly, what is the age that they feel kids should have access to their own
smartphone? Yeah.
Most of them said about 15, 16, which I think is also fair. That's kind of where my mind is at. They can use mine up until that point because that's when they start going out of the house. You need a way to contact them. And then also, what is the biggest challenge with teens? I don't have a teenager. I don't know what to expect. Nipesh has one. He's told me some horror stories.
That's why he's laughing there.
But one mom said exactly what you said now, spending more time on the phone than we allow. The phone is also used for music practice and listening to music in the afternoons. And if we limit the phone time overall, then they can't use it for those things that they need it for. So that's been really difficult for them to manage. And I think that's really useful them if you can say, you're only allowed to be on socials for 30 minutes,
mm-hmm.
but your music or your whatever app, you can be on that for 2 hours.
So on Apple and Google, you can actually see all of the devices. So for example, with my son, you see the MacBook, the iPad and his phone.
Mm.
I can say, okay, but he spent 30 minutes on iPad doing something, but on the phone he spent a long time. So I disabled them. I'm like, if you want to do it on your laptop because the screen is farther away. Now he has to sit and do it, not just lie down in his bed and do it.
Yeah.
So you're kind of forcing him to do it, but in a different format. And that's where the tools really come in handy to say, okay, you're not allowed this downtime is at 9 o'clock, phones turn off. Sorry, unless it's important you come to me for homework, I'll unlock it. But those policies, home policies, need to start being used more. And I think parents need to play an active role in that because without that is where kids just go off. We say kids in teens should have a phone. My younger one has a tablet, since he was six, but I know what he's doing on it. It turns off at certain time, but at least I manage it.
Yeah.
And same with my daughter. Her friends are overseas, so she uses it for WhatsApp. I know who she's chatting to.
Yeah.
That control needs to be there, and they need to know until they're at a certain age, you will oversee things.
I mean, it is our job as parents to guide, right?
Is anything not our job, Anna? I'm tired. But look, I mean, I'm just joking here. I'm just trying to lighten up. You know, one other mom on our group also said that, yes, she monitors and everything, but one of the things, like with WhatsApp, that she does not allow is deleted messages. If she goes in there and she sees deleted messages in the chat,
what are you hiding?
What is this about? Now, from my point of view, for instance, with Google Play Pass that I use on my phone, I'll set it up with Google Link now because I really like that.
Yeah.
But with Google Play Pass, you buy it. It's ridiculously cheap and you get access to Google Play Pass games. You don't pay for anything. There's no add-on payments, which I love. And then also, there are no adverts.
Apple has the same thing called Apple Arcade.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
So I've got buy-in from my kids. And I think that was the most difficult part for me, is getting that buy-in and explaining to them. And I've used this line with my 5- and 9-year-old. Once you see something, you can never unsee it. And that is why mommy is doing this. I don't want you. The ads are annoying, aren't they? Like, you don't want to be able to just
buy. They're not age-appropriate ads because they're using your account.
Yeah.
So the ads also become...
It's not age-appropriate. Mommy doesn't want you to see things you can never unsee. And they actually now, when one tries to download something that's not Play Pass, they're like, Mama, this thing that they want, it's not Play Pass. And then they deleted themselves all the things that were not Play Pass games.
Yeah.
So having that buy-in from your kids, I think also builds... a lot of trust. YouTube kids, I hate it right now, but I'm sure
I think it's not, like that's where the problem is. When we say age appropriate, who decides that?
Yeah.
Because what kids watch now is not really age appropriate. We've got 13-year-olds playing Call of Duty, which is 18 plus. We've got kids playing Fortnite. If you look at the rating, it's not for everyone.
No, it's
but
not.
But kids play it.
And so, there's chatting. There's like live chatting.
So this is where if your kids play Roblox, Minecraft, Fortnite, there are settings for parents to go and set up a parental password, restrict all these things, so they can have an experience which is suited for 7-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
So they don't chat to strangers. Again, what happens is when they chat, when they're playing game on your computer at home or your network, on the chat, somebody might say, here, you know what, click a link, you'll get 1,000 Robux.
Yeah,
all kids will click it.
Skins.
They click something, they download an app. They don't know what app does.
Yeah.
It can leak your bank details, damage your files, ransomware. And they think, and yesterday when I had a session with the school, the kids were like, oh, but can I not just uninstall the virus? Because they don't understand
They clearly did not have the 90s experience with viruses.
But this is where the world is. Most kids don't know what viruses are.
Yeah.
It's not an app that you download and uninstall. And that, again, that's awareness, that's education. There's a lot of things around it impacts it.
Well, we could go on and on and on. And by we, I mean our guest.
Could go on for a couple of hours.
This has been very insightful. For me, the two key takeaways here are expose them in a healthy manner and control it a little bit on the side. What's that Google app again?
Family Link?
Family Link.
Link and Apple Parental Control. And for parents, go out and learn. Just see on YouTube what's happening out there. It's extremely scary.
It is.
But you need to realize...
Face the scary stuff.
We have to stop thinking it doesn't happen to us. It doesn't happen here. That's not true. Mm. It happens everywhere, and the bullying happens everywhere. It's really bad.
Yeah, look, on bullying, it happened 2 months ago in Namibia, where I got calls from different moms from different schools to say there's this anonymous Instagram account that's posting about these girls and boys from different schools in Namibia, from Walvis Bay, Swakopmund to South, to Windhoek.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
This girl did this, this boy did this, and the account is, it's impossible to remove it. And I imagine the kids seeing it to say, no, you did this with this boy. And they're just mentioning it. This girl from this school did this. And that's cyberbullying. That's actually illegal, but we don't have regulations. We don't have cops expert in, like, police is not expert enough to get it removed.
And if we can limit the access to healthy access, they don't see that. And it doesn't affect them as much. Yes, there's always going to be other people that see it. And I guess it's a really difficult thing to manage.
Just consume content intentionally. Know what you want to tell the kids. This is good for you. This is good for your future. You want to be
not
an influencer, that's fine.
And
if you want to be an influencer when you grow up, it's fine. But study first. Because you don't know what you're going to talk to people about.
Yeah.
And you can't just go on air and talk.
And like, what if the zombie lets happen?
Don't make your kids influencers, people. Look at those series on Netflix and stuff.
It's
like,
a side
go and watch.
It's a side
gig. One thing I told the kids, how many of you want to be influencers? A few kids raised their hands. I'm like, do you know how much you earn for 1 million views?
Millions.
So only $50 US dollars. Like, is that it?
Yes,
then I don't want to be an influencer. It's also educating them what comes with it, the lifestyle that comes with it, how one in a billion or one in a few million people will make it there. And if kids do want to have their own YouTube channel, like we were chatting this morning,
I
said, you know what, Anne, I've done it with my kid. Let them record themselves on the device. You want to be a YouTube influencer, talk? Go for it. We'll only go online once you're expert in it, but start recording, start talking. After 2 videos, he got bored and he stopped doing it.
Like, nah. Okay. Well, we have to wrap it up.
We do, unfortunately, but this will be not in real time, because we are in real time right now, but it will be on the NOVA website if you want to go catch yourself up.
Yeah.
We'll share it to our Facebook account as well. Go educate yourself and your kids.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being
here. We should do a few more of these.
We should. A part 1, 2, 3, 4 to 500.
Until the kids grow up to be teens.
The Secret Life of Motherhood, only on Nova 103.5.